My main contention in tonight's debate is that Jesus' resurrection was a real historical event, and therefore meaningful for us today. So in my opening speech, I want to outline a case for the historicity of Jesus' resurrection. Now, I'm going to be giving you a lot of historical information, so hold on to your hats. A historical argument for Jesus' resurrection involves two steps. First, determine what are the facts to be explained, and second, determine what is the best explanation of those facts. First, what are the facts to be explained? In order to answer this question, it's important to say something about our sources for the historical Jesus. Our principal sources for the life of Jesus consist of documents written within a generation after his death, which were later collected by the church and put into one volume called the New Testament. When historians investigate Jesus' life, they're not treating the New Testament as a wholly inspired book. They're not even assuming that the New Testament is generally reliable. The historian expects to find errors and inconsistencies in even his most reliable sources. So the historian isn't presupposing that the New Testament documents are reliable. Rather, he's arguing that in the case of a specific event, there are good reasons to think that the documents are reliable on that score. So, when we come to what these documents have to say about the resurrection, the question is, what historical facts about this event can we reliably recover from the documents? Now, it might come as something of a surprise to you that today the relevant facts are largely agreed upon by New Testament critics. There has been a revolution in New Testament scholarship concerning the resurrection over the last half century. Back in the 1940s and 50s, it was widely believed that the story of Jesus' empty tomb was a legend shaped by the theology of the early church, which arose many decades after Jesus was dead and gone. The post-mortem appearances of Jesus were thought to have been hallucinations brought on by the disciples' fervent faith in Jesus. And the disciples' belief that God had raised Jesus from the dead was taken to be the result of the profound impact Jesus had had upon his disciples during his life. Today, these positions have been largely abandoned within the scholarly community. Those who still cling to the older opinions represent the radical fringe of contemporary New Testament scholarship. Instead, today, the majority of scholars affirm the following three facts about what happened following Jesus' crucifixion. Number one, on the Sunday morning after his crucifixion, Jesus' tomb was discovered empty by a group of his women followers. Two, on multiple occasions, various individuals and groups experienced appearances of Jesus alive after his death. And three, the original disciples suddenly and sincerely came to believe that God had raised Jesus from the dead despite every predisposition to the contrary. What are some of the reasons that have persuaded most scholars to think that the documents are accurate with respect to these three facts? Let me simply mention a few of the reasons. First, with respect to Jesus' empty tomb, most scholars have been convinced on the basis of reasons like the following three. Reason number one, the empty tomb story is part of Mark's very old source material. Behind Mark's story of Jesus' passion lies an earlier source, which included the story of the women's discovery of his empty tomb. Mark is the earliest of our Gospels, so his source must be even earlier still. In fact, the commentator Rudolf Pesch dates this source to within 7 years of Jesus' crucifixion. Contrast this with the sources for Roman and Greek history, which are usually removed one or two generations or even centuries from the events that they record. For example, the earliest biographies of Alexander the Great were written by Arrian and Plutarch over 400 years after Alexander's death, and yet classical historians consider them still to be trustworthy. According to A.N. Sherwin White in his book, Roman Society and Roman Law in the New Testament, even two generations is too short a time span to allow legendary tendencies to wipe out the hard core of historical facts. Thus, the extraordinarily early date of Mark's Passion source effectively rules out the hypothesis that the story of the empty tomb is a late developing legend, as critics used to think. Reason number two, Mark's account of the empty tomb is multiply and independently attested by other sources. One of the most important criteria used by historians is multiple independent attestation. If an event in Jesus' life is attested by at least two independent sources, one of which is early, then the event is likely to be historical. As New Testament critic Marcus Borg explains, the logic is straightforward. If a tradition appears in an early source and in another independent source, then not only is it early, but it is also unlikely to have been made up. In the case of the empty tomb, we have not only Mark's early passion source, but also independent sources used by Matthew and John. The empty tomb is also mentioned in the early sermons in the Acts of the Apostles and implied by Paul in his letter to the church in Corinth. Thus, we have early, multiple, independent attestation of the fact of the empty tomb, one of the most important indications of historicity. Reason number three, the tomb was discovered empty by women. In a patriarchal society like first century Palestine, where the word of a woman was looked down upon, it's remarkable that it is women who are the discoverers of Jesus' empty tomb. Any later legendary account would certainly have made male disciples, like Peter and John, discover the empty tomb. The fact that it is women, rather than men, who are the chief witnesses to the empty tomb is best explained by the fact that they were the discoverers of the empty tomb, and the gospel writers faithfully record what, for them, was an awkward and embarrassing fact.